you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
Fellowship's sweeter,
knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's clear.
Everyone loves you.
Reading from John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. And these are words of Jesus. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, June 28th, and God has answered my prayers. If you were tuned in yesterday and you heard the morning broadcast, or for that matter, the re-airing, I said, I don't know who I'm going to have for Testimony Tuesday yet, so be praying that up. Well, God, through circumstances, I had a couple people on my short list that I were going to call up, but in the morning, I just was kind of unsettled, and I thought, well, I'll just keep praying and thinking it through. And then Huey Freeman, our new board chair of the radio ministry, calls me up to follow up on our board meeting that's coming up in July to cover some of the topics and the itinerary for the meeting and such. And as we were talking, I was like, Huey, I think you're supposed to be a part of Testimony Tuesday. Are you willing? And he goes, Mark, it's kind of incredible you're asking me, because my day is opened up. I have all these other meetings and gatherings and appointments and things to do, but I could be available for Testimony Tuesday. So in the studio, in our home studio here, is our new board chairman, Huey Freeman. This meeting in July will be the first time you're actually present with everyone around. We've had a couple other meetings, Zoom calls and such, but I get to introduce you to our radio listening family as our new board chair. And it's funny because I didn't ask for a bio or an overview, because I've known you for 25, 27, many years. And I know you as a faithful follower of Jesus. I know your background was Jewish, and we'll talk about that, how God wooed you to himself. Married to Kate. You have four children. You've been in our area for many years. You wrote and were a part of the Decatur Herald and Review, so I know that was a part of your calling. You've written a few different books. You interview many, many different people. When I've been in need, I've said, hey, Huey, do you have anyone I should interview? And you say, oh, I have this veteran friend, or this police officer, or this police chief, or this person has a great faith journey. I said, hey, can you be a part of that? And so you've brought him into the studio, or I met with you somewhere and we taped that program. As mentioned, I know you as a faithful follower of Jesus, which I really appreciate. You've been involved in the radio ministry in so many different ways, with the singing men, with trips to Israel, with assisting and volunteering at our various gatherings. You attend Meadowbrook Church. You lead, participate in some of the youth ministry there. You've been on our board for a number of years as our secretary, and God just put it on my heart some months back that as Juan Laredo was transitioning to Indiana and leaving our area, that we'd need a new board chair, and God worked that all out in a unique and kind of fun way. You approached me and you said, you know, Mark, maybe we need to find someone outside the board, and you really were thinking somebody that could bring in other credentials or expertise and skill sets, and we're not thinking at all of yourself. And after we got off the phone and I was praying it up and thinking it through, and you have a vision for reaching the lost, a huge heart for those that don't know Jesus, yet you also want believers to finish well and to grow. And I just started thinking, I think Lord Huey's the one that should take that over. So I called you up and you wanted to pray about it and get with Kate. Kate leads our theater troupe and has done a fabulous job with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, with It's a Wonderful Life and some of the other skits and things we've done. And she said, I'm very supportive. And then you got back to me and said, well, Mark, I will do it if you feel the board and they all buy into it and want it too. So anyways, with that said, and there's probably a lot more I could say about the different things you've done, helping with media and some of the other things, books you're writing and editing and doing now, but I just know you as a faithful follower of Jesus, and I thought on this Testimony Tuesday, you could share some of that faith journey growing up in a Jewish family and how God, through radio broadcasts and through different circumstances, became a follower of Jesus. So I'm just going to hand it over to you because I'm always fascinated by your storytelling ability, your gifts, your heart for the Lord, your desire for all to come to know Jesus. And so our prayers before this program was that something maybe that is said and shared will either lead somebody to that saving knowledge of who Jesus is or help them move forward in their faith journey or even take a baby step to entertaining the idea that God loves them.
Well, thank you for that wonderful introduction, Mark, and I am thankful to be the new chairman of the board. I did not ever think that was something that would happen to me. I'm really humbled. I consider it an honor and privilege, and I believe that God has something for me to bring forth as a chairman. And my special interest is always in evangelism, and especially always to work with young people. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a really strong connection because most people who turn to Jesus turn when they're young. Mm-hmm. So I always love telling my story. We're always supposed to be ready to testify about Jesus. So I grew up in a Jewish household, in a Jewish neighborhood, went to Chicago Public High School that was probably 95% Jewish kids in Rogers Park. And I knew zero Christians. I didn't know. Maybe there was one young man who went to a Christian church but never spoke about Jesus. He seemed like just a regular person like everybody else. So when you're brought up Jewish, the traitors to the Jewish faith are those who converted to Christ, maybe under threat of being killed in the Inquisition by the Spaniards or different things. But a hero of the faith of the Jewish faith is someone who would rather go to his death than to convert to Christ. So In other words, our indoctrination is the Jewish faith is all you need, and it's wonderful, and Jewish people are wonderful people, and why would anybody in their right mind want to be a Christian? Well, of course, we know Jesus is Jewish, Peter's Jewish, James and John are Jewish, Mary is Jewish. It's a Jewish culture that brought Jesus into the earth. And Jesus preached almost totally to Jewish people, to the Jews first and then to the Greeks. But as Jewish people in the 20th century, we didn't know anything about any of this. I didn't know anything about the New Testament. So my story, I know God orchestrated all of this. It wasn't something that just happened. But I had one friend that I knew since 7th grade, a really good friend named Shelley Fox. And we start hearing that she's out in Oregon and she's a Jesus freak, which means she went crazy or something. Like, yes. I mean, it's like, why would anyone be a Jesus freak? But I felt like I'm not going to write her off. I know a lot of people get into a lot of crazy things, and I'm not going to write her off. So I happen to be going to school in San Francisco, which isn't that far from Oregon. And I had already been through Oregon, and it's so beautiful with the ocean and the mountains and everything. So I called her up while I was living in Berkeley, California. And
the hotbed of Christianity.
Well, in those days, they actually didn't really hate Christians in Berkeley. Believe it or not, Christians could preach on the streets and everything. Anyway, so Shelley invited me up to visit with her and her Jesus freak friends. She was living in a Jesus freak commune out in the country, and they had praying all the time.
And this is in the 70s?
In the early 70s. Okay. And that was the Jesus freak movement was going strong on the West Coast. And they invited me to a church. It had about 3,000 young people. A lot of them were recent converts to Christ. And I didn't have any interest in it, but I thought these are pretty nice people. Mm. And then I'll move forward to the next step in that was the young man whose house it was. He was buying this old house out in the country where Shelley Fox was living. His name was Terry King. And he was going to go build a house for his mother and stepfather in a beautiful town called Sisters in the summer. and I had summer off from school, and I already had been loving hiking in the mountains. That was like my main passion in life, besides learning about filmmaking, which is what I was going to school for. So Terry's mother agreed that I could help him build a house, and they would pay me room and board, and I could go hiking in the mountains on weekends and all this. So Terry, being a Jesus freak, is always telling about the Bible, and I'm arguing with him. I had an argument for everything that he had to say, and there was a lot of turning points that summer. And one was, I was hiking on a nearby mountain called Three Finger Jack, 7,800 feet tall. So that's roughly about five times taller than what we always call the Sears Tower, okay? And I was hiking up it. I was near the peak, and it was starting to get dark. And I thought, oh, I better get down. So as soon as I started going down, my feet hit the snow, which was really soft on the way up. And it was frozen snow because it was on the wrong side of the sun, and all the snow turned to like ice. So as soon as my feet hit the frozen snowfield, I started sliding at a rapid pace down the steep mountain, and I knew I was going to die. I absolutely knew I was going to die because there was no way I could stop myself. I was going faster and faster. My face was plastered against the snowfield, and I thought, this is my last thought on earth. Boy, am I going fast. And then suddenly I stopped. And I knew it was God. I just absolutely knew it was God. I had actually seen something that we could call a miracle in just living with Terry King, building this house in this little town called Sisters. And things would happen, and he would pray and pray, and things would get straightened out. And things, I was just like, wow, look at that. So I knew this was a miracle of God. So that was the first time in my life I actually knew that this God that these Jesus freaks were always talking about actually cared about me personally. Because I was going to die, and somehow I miraculously stopped. Well, I had to spend the night on that mountain. I was able to get to a flat spot. My tent was like thousands of feet down from where I was, and I couldn't even try to make it that way. So I just kind of kicked my feet into the frozen snow field and was able to hike a little ways upward, spend the night in the mountain. I was actually singing to God, thanking God all night. Well, okay, so my life was saved. Later in that summer, I did a couple long hikes in the Cascade Mountains by myself with a backpack. And during one of those long hikes in the North Cascades up by the Canadian border, I ran out of food because I decided to stay longer than my original plan. And I was starting to pray, and I was praying, and God showed me several miraculous ways to get food after I had run out. And I would thank God, and I knew God was really cool. And then when I would lose my trail, I would pray, what to do now? And God would show me the direction to go on the trail. So then one day, God said to me, the same God who was like answering prayers, he said, my way is through my son. And I was like, oh no, that is horrible. The same God who was like guiding me with actual words in my mind and heart that I knew was God is now telling me that these Jesus freaks are right. That I was like, no, there's not one way to God.
God, I'll follow you, but not Jesus, right?
I'm not going to be a Christian. Okay, so I have two really strong barriers to being a Christian. Number one, when you're Jewish, you lose all your relatives if you become a Christian. And you can lose some of your Jewish friends. Yeah. Most of my Jewish friends, I would say pretty much all my Jewish friends were not that religious. But then the other barrier is I was a pretty good sinner. So in other words, the sin atmosphere, the sin culture of the sexual revolution and just drinking and drugs and all that stuff. So then, even more importantly than losing all my relatives, I would lose all my friends. I'd lose my friends, my buddies, the people we would drink together, you know, the girls I would date. Why would I date girls? What do Christians do when they date girls? I mean, it's like, what was the trick of a Christian? I mean, you know, so anyway, God got a hold of me, and through a series of circumstances during the next year, he let me know that he is the way, and that my life was actually unraveling in many ways. Things were not going well for me. I moved back from the San Francisco area back up to Oregon, where the Jesus freaks kept asking me to come up there. Hey, why don't you come up here? You love the mountains. Why don't you come up here? And I moved up there, and then I started attending a small church. And the real turning point for me I had this one Christian man. I was in my early 20s, and he was like 73 years old, and he was a strong Christian. And I would go sit at his house and ask him about the Bible. And I had this idea that I was reading my Bible a lot, and I saw that whenever...
And is that the Bible you brought to the studio today, the small little Bible?
No. In fact, this couple, their names were LaFarnsworth, in this little church that I was attending in Lowell, Oregon, they gave me a huge Bible with big print, and it got me hooked on big print Bibles, because you could read and read all day. Even then, I didn't have glasses, but I could read and read all day without my eyes getting sore. So they got me hooked. They gave me this big old Bible. I still have it somewhere, but it's all scribbled on and worn out. So I was reading my Bible a lot, and I saw this trend in the New Testament where when people got saved, even the 3,000 that Peter preached to that got saved, they all got baptized right away. So I said to Lou, Lou, should I get baptized? Because in the Bible, I see even Jesus got baptized. Should I get baptized? And Lou said, yeah, and he showed me the different scriptures that, yes, it's important to get baptized. So I said, okay. So then I was alone with God, and I said, God, if you want me to be baptized, I'm going to ask Pastor David Fox, same last name as Shelley Fox, a Jewish girl who helped me to be a believer. And I said, I'm going to ask Pastor David Fox. I said, I do not want to get baptized in a bathtub because no one in the Bible got baptized in a bathtub. They all got baptized in rivers or somewhere out in the lake or somewhere outside. So I said, if you want me to get baptized, I'm going to go to Pastor Fox and say, Pastor Fox, I want to be baptized in Dexter Lake. Would you do it? I went, Pastor Fox, would you do it? And he hesitated for a minute, and he goes, I will do it. Well, it was February, and Dexter Lake was fed from the mountains, from snow melt off of the mountains on the Willamette River. Dexter Lake was a reservoir of the Willamette River, so it was probably about 40 degrees in the water. So I went into the water. I felt no pain. I came out. I was literally on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Several years later, Pastor Fox had a pastorate in a church in Portland, Oregon, and I visited him. We had like two or three kids at a time. My wife and I visited him, and Katie also was baptized by him only in the summer, which made him a lot happier.
Yeah, I understand.
So Pastor Fox told his congregation, he said, this young man came to me, and he said some choice things about how I was one of the, you know, messed up people he ever met in his life when I came to him, or something of that effect. And then he said, and I baptized him in this cold lake, and my legs were numb for a week, which I had never heard before. This is years later, and he's telling me this. So he also married Katie and I, and we got married in February. So he was a great man of God, and I will say one thing. David Fox gave me a prophetic message when I was still an unbeliever on the fence, and that was another part of my testimony story. And this, I think, is important for anybody who's fighting with whether to believe or not. So I was hearing voices telling me this: you cannot be a Christian because after you started believing that Jesus is the way, you have still been sinning. Specifically, I was doing things with a young woman that was my girlfriend, and I was actually wrestling with, should I give up that life to be a Christian? So the devil, I believe, was giving whispers to my mind saying, you cannot be a Christian. It's too late to be a Christian because you've been sinning after you started believing. So the prophetic word that Pastor Dave Fox gave me, he didn't know me at all. He didn't know who was in the room, and it was a miraculous prophetic gift. And it said basically, you believe you can't be a believer, but I am telling you, I have a plan for your life. I am inviting you to come into the fold. I'm inviting you to come in. All your sins are washed away. And it was all this amazing prophecy that spoke to my heart, knowing exactly what I was thinking and why I really didn't believe I was suitable to be a believer. So that was a turning point. Then I went forward as a Christian, and I really just studied the Bible a lot. One of the turning points in my life, I was in I used to just go to churches and evangelistic meetings, and I, you know, worked in different churches, and I was kind of like an associate pastor in different churches as a young man who was just really just under the Spirit and the Word of God, like as a regular 24/7 type of thing. And during that time, I was at this evangelistic meeting, and the evangelist said, there's three things that are important in a Christian's life. Number one.
And I'm going to jump in here and save that for tomorrow, because I'm going to have you back, because there's just so much more to your story and how you met Kate and how God used Christian radio and that prophetic sharing over your life, I think is apropos to anyone listening today that may feel like I don't measure up, I failed, you don't know the sin in my life, how could God accept me because I've done this or that? And so I want you to reiterate those things tomorrow, that there's nobody outside of God's loving, extending arm of care and compassion. He desires all to know him. We can never measure up. We can never be perfect. None of us. It doesn't matter how many times you failed. We have a loving God, and he put in place a plan, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who takes away our sins. We can't earn our way into heaven, so none of us make it. And I just want you to know that if you're on the fence or you're unfamiliar with the love of God, call this number, 1-888-NEED-HIM, 1-888-NEED-HIM. They can tell you about the Christian faith, how to have a relationship, who is Jesus, how you can trust the Bible, and answer any of your questions. And then I'd encourage you to tune in tomorrow, because we'll pick up right here. With us is our new board chair of this radio ministry, Huey Freeman. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, also at WLUJ.org under the Mark and Friends tab, and so you can listen to it. And I hope you can tune in again tomorrow at the same time, and Huey Freeman will be joining me. Marianne Simpkins is still recovering from COVID, and we'll be back on probably Wednesday or Thursday, but I'll have Huey here at our home studio again, and we'll discuss more of his testimony and faith journey. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Huey Freeman with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.